In the 1960s, I am told, the Beatles sang their anthem, All You Need Is Love. Do you remember that? Yes, I'm too young. It summed up the spirit of the age, where flower power, a new resistance to war in Vietnam and the Cold War with the Soviet Union, and in particular, it summed up large parts of what youth culture was into. The Make Love, Not War generation heralded a liberalisation of society. And the Beatles song was seen by many as the answer to all the problems in the world. Of course, not everyone agreed with that. Many felt the song about love was a vague, dreamy concept when some hard-nosed realism was what was needed. Focusing on something as vague as love would simply distract people from real problems. Love wasn't going to deal with Mr. Khrushchev. It might be possible to read today's words from the gospel reading from Jesus as being a source for the Beatles' hit. But I think the love that Jesus speaks of is deeper, grittier, and rather more nuanced than the Beatles back in the 60s would have us believe. Indeed, much of contemporary culture now swings between the all you need is love and can't we just get along, and incredible suspicions about the motives of the person we're disagreeing with. Maybe we do need a bit more than love. Jesus in today's reading extols love as the virtue, but I think he means something more than the dreamy, vague feeling we often mean by love. Jesus tells us the Father loves him and he loves us. He calls us to abide in that love. But love is about obeying his commandments. He calls us to emulate him by loving others. And that love is about laying down one's life. No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. This isn't about flower power hippies or swooning with a new partner. We said earlier that the English word love is ambiguous when it's used as a translation of the various Greek words used in the New Testament. For Christians, however, the supreme example of love is God, revealed in Jesus. Love is part of God's own character and is a love that is primarily interested in the good of others. And this is the love that we're called to emulate. It might be difficult. At times, other emotions might come into focus. But at the heart of Christian understanding of God and life is love. The love God shows us, and the love we must then show others. If we ask how, we simply turn to this passage where Jesus tells us to love others as he has loved us, sacrificially, wanting nothing in return. This isn't the hazy, feel-good emotion of the 1960s counterculture, but a love that demands we lay down our lives. A love that demands sacrifice. We can only do this if we ourselves are grounded in God's love. Centuries ago, St. Augustine tried to describe the Trinity as the lover, the beloved, and the love that flows between them. As we unite ourselves to Christ, the Holy Spirit, the love that flows, gives energy, dynamism, and purpose, fills us. Today is a new start as we admit new members. We've come on a long journey as a church, dating back over 200 years. Not that any of you are here for that whole time. But love is what has sustained us on that journey. And it is sacrificial love that will continue to guide and empower us as we journey on. The future will be different to the past, but we are called to the same task as all those that have gone before us, to show God's love to our community, a love that is impressive, compelling, and sacrificial. Will you pray with me? O God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as surpass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love toward you that we, loving you in all things and above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen.